All right, so we are holding then on page Pei Aleph in Bava Basra, Ois Samaches. Mishnah talks about, you have the subject of these perakim in Bava Basra is when you sell a certain item, what is automatically included and what is not. The first perak, the first Mishnah had talked about, you sell a boat, what's automatically included and what not, and that led into the whole agadah about boats and fish and what not. So now, the Mishnah talks about, suppose, for example, you sell a horse, does the baby automatically, does the baby horse, the colt automatically go with it? A baby horse in Lashon Kodesh is called a siach. So now that leads the Gemara into a drasha that also mentions a siach or an ayir, which is another word for a baby animal. So Amr Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr of Yonasan, my dichtiv. What does it mean in the pasuk? Now you have like this. At the end of Parashas Chukas, it tells how the Jewish people fought against Sichron and conquered his land. We know from the Pesukim over there, it says that Sichron had that much of this land had previously belonged to Moav and also to Ammon, and Sichron had conquered it from them. And as we know famously, Ammon and Moav taru b'Sichron. Once Ammon and Moav, when those lands belonged to Ammon and Moav, the Jewish people wouldn't have been able to take them because they weren't allowed to fight against those nations. But once Sichron had conquered them, then they became Tahor, and the Jewish people can conquer them from Sichron. So the Torah tells us those facts. Then the Torah tells us, the Gemara is going to quote several psukim of the Bible. The pasuk says, Alken Yomu, let's quote the psukim and then full first. Alken Yomu ha-Moshlim. Therefore, the Moshlim would say, in the simple sense, Moshlim means people who would say Mesholim. Rashi explains that it means Bilam and his father, that Balak had, that Sichon rather had hired them to curse Balak and his nation, that they should be defeated and Kahava, and that's how Balak knows how powerful Bilam's curses are. So Moshlim means soothsayers, or it means people who say, Mesholim, parables and songs like that, like about current events. Anyway, the pasuk says, "Alken Yomer Moshlim Baruch Cheshbon." They said, "Come to Cheshbon, Kibana v'Sikonin Ir Sichon." Let the city of Sichon be built and established. This is all Rashi explains. This is all them cursing Moav that Sichon should in fact be able to conquer them and make Sichon his capital. And they continue, Ki Eish Yotzem a Cheshbon, a fire came out from Cheshbon, which in the simple sense is the name of the city, Lahova Mekiryas Sichron, a flame came out from the city of Sichron, Ochla Or Moav, it consumed Or, which is an area in Moav, Bale Bomis Aunon, the people who own the high places on the Aunon River. And then they continue, woe to you people of Kamosh, you've been handed over to your enemies. The Gemara is not going to douse in that pasuk in the middle, but then they finish off. They finish their mushal vaniram. We shot at them. There's different explanations among Mephoshim what vaniram means. It can mean we shot at them. Rashi actually explains it means vaniram, their kingdom, ovad cheshbon was lost from cheshbon, ad divoin. Their rulership was lost. Their rulership is gone from divoin. Vanashim and noifach, and we laid them waste as far as noifach, asherad medva, all the way as far as medva. So in the simple sense, this is, in other words, this is these moshlim, these soothsayers or these bards or whatever, saying a poem, talking of commemorating Sichon's conquest, and how they defeated Moab and took over all that territory, and then later on how the Jewish people took it from them. Now, the Gemara is bothered by, among other things, first of all, why does the Gemara have to tell us this? Why does the Pasuk, rather, have to tell us this? Is it important for us to know what the Moshlim of that time were saying, whatever poems and things they were saying about current events? So therefore, the Gemara is going to see therefore the Gemara is going to find a drasha in it. So that also, and then the Gemara is also bothered by the repetitiousness of it. Akosov actually brings from the Rashba that it's not really the when the Chacham are going to darish in these psukim, it's not actually that they're saying there's any level on which this is the actual meaning of the psukim. The actual meaning of the psukim is it was this song that these guys were singing at the time. But the Gemara wanted to give us a drasha, it wanted to teach us a matter of midas tovus and a matter in avoda, and therefore they attached it to these psukim. The Derech Remez, this way, when you learn these psukim, you'll remember the lesson. So my dichtiv, what does it mean in the pasuk? Alken yomer ha-moshlim bo cheshbon. Therefore, the moshlim say, come to cheshbon. So, and then Ashman points out, especially because since the psukim before that, if it doesn't need to be told to tell us that these lands are tahor because Sichon conquered them, and therefore we could conquer them from Sichon, because a couple of psukim earlier, it already says that in prose. We don't need the poem to tell us the same thing. So therefore, so what it means is hamushlim elo hamushlim b'yisram. First of all, the mushlim of the pasuk, where in the simple sense it means those who say mishalim, it really, the deeper meaning is it means those who rule over the yetzahara. So tzadikim. As you have the pasuk, Rashbam brings various psukim where we see that a tzaddik, somebody who overcomes his yetzahara, is called a moshel, is called a ruler over his yetzahara. So aken yomram moshlim, therefore the moshlim, those who rule over the yetzahara, say, boyu cheshven, come to cheshven, meaning, in the simple sense, cheshven is the name of the city, but we're dashing boyu nachashiv cheshvonis shel olam. Come and let's make the calculations of the world. Hefsid mitzvah keneged schara. Consider, when you do a mitzvah, there's a loss, there's a potential loss involved. You have to spend money on it, or time, or whatever. But opposite the reward of it, because you have a tremendous reward for the mitzvah in Olam Haba. Or schara beira keneged hefseda, and vice versa. You have the amount that your person would gain, would seem to gain from an avera. Where he could gain something from doing an avera now, keneged hefseda. But consider the loss that is going to be, the much greater loss that is going to be lost in love life. So the Moshlim, those who Moshlim be Yitzram, are telling you that, be aware of that, be aware of that point. And one point is, a Moshlim, in particular, Ben Yoyada points out, the Ben Ishai points out in his Sefer on this Gemara Ben Yahu, he says the Moshlim be Yitzram particularly can mean the Baalei Tshuva. So they already went through this whole thing. So therefore, they're the ideal ones to guide you and tell you how to consider this kind of thing. So the pasuk continues. Now the pasuk continues. Tibonev sikonin. So in the simple sense, tibonev sikonin means it will be built and established, meaning that city of Cheshbon will be built and established as Sichon's camp. But we're doubting tibonev sikonin. The tofs can also mean you. So you will be built and you will be established. Meaning imata osekain. If you act like that, if you realize that. You, as much as you might think to gain from an avera, you have so much more to lose, and vice versa, what you think you might lose from a mitzvah, you have so much more to gain, and therefore you'll make sure to do mitzvahs and not the opposite. Tibona, but if you do that, tibona ba'olam hazeh, v'tikonin la'olam haba. You will be built in this world and established in the next world. So that's the first part. That's the first part of the pasuk. Then, though, the pasuk continues, Ir Sichon. Then the pasuk continues, the city of Sichon. Now, in the simple sense, that belongs to the end of the previous pasuk. Tibonav Sichon and Ir Sichon. Here, the Gemara is making it as though the word Ir Sichon belongs to the next part of it. Namely, Im Mesim Odom Atzme Ka'ayir Zeh. If a person acts like the word Gaushin and the word Ir, as if it was the word Ayir, which means a young donkey. So if a person makes himself, on the other hand, like a young donkey, Shemahalachacha Sichana, who just follows nice speech, you talk nicely to a young animal and will instinctively follow you. So if a person is going to do that, and his Yetzirah is going to sweet talk him into doing Averis, and he's going to be in that sense, like a young animal. So Ir Sichon, so we're dashing Ir, Meloshin Ayir, as in a young colt, a young donkey, and Sichon Meloshin Sicha, or Sichon Meloshin Sichana. Beautiful speech. Maksiv Achrav, so what does the pasuk continue? Ki eish yotza mecheshbon, the grammar. A fire will come out from cheshbon. What does that mean? Again, we're taking the word cheshbon in the sense, not as the proper noun, the name of a city, but rather as the improper noun, meaning calculation. Teitze eish min amecheshbon. A fire will come out from those who do make these calculations, who do the right thing and stay on the right path, the tzaddikim, the seichel ashein machashvim, and consume those who do not make such calculations and just follow whatever the Yetzirah tells them to do and don't consider the consequences of it. Rashbam points out in the Gemara before, we had that you have the chuppis in Gan Eden, and you have the smoke over there, and then you have the fire, and you have the fire over there, the eish v'chuppa lama, and the Gemara had said, because each tzaddik is nichvim v'chuppasei shachaveirai, feels like a burning shame when he realizes the accomplishments of the other tzaddik next to him, where the other tzaddik had some mila that he doesn't, and he's going to burn with shame for that. So now, in the same vein, this fire comes from the tzaddikim, and consumes those who didn't make a cheshbon, who were doing averus, and therefore they're going to be burning from that shame when they have themselves in the Olam Emes to compare against the tzaddikim. He continues, Lahava Mikiryas Sichon, when he says a flame comes forth from the city of Sichon, here we're using the word Sichon in a different sense. Mikiryas Tzaddikim, Shenikru Sichon, namely from the city from the city of the Tzaddikim, who are called Sichin. Sichin means trees. And we find, as we're going to have soon in the Gemara, where Tzaddikim are compared to various kinds of trees. Rashbam brings a bunch of them. Some of them we're going to have in the next piece of Gemara. Tzaddikim are compared to cedar trees. Tzaddikim are compared to palm trees. They're compared to hadassim. There's a number of different trees. The word sichim means trees, so sometimes the word sichim means like bushes, but whatever, and bushes and trees are not really that far apart. So it means, in other words, the tzaddikim then are being called sichim, are called the trees. So the fire will come out from Kiryas Sichon, from the area of the tzaddikim, who are compared to trees. And when it continues, Ochla or Moyav, when it says it consumed or of Moyav, where in the simple sense, or is the name of a district in the country of Moyav. So again, we're doubting the word or, like the word ear previously. That means a young donkey. Again, you're back to that it's going to consume those who were just like a young donkey and just followed their inclinations and their taivas. So the fire that comes out from the tzaddikim, who are called sichim, is going to consume that or, those people who act like an ayer, like a young donkey just following whatever they felt like. On the simple sense, the way the Gemara is saying it over here, it's not doubting the word moyov. We'll talk about soon a couple of different explanations where the word moyov does come into the picture as well. So Bamashus, we're talking about another Mabar, yeah. Yeah, so it means, in other words, like this, the neshamas that followed the Yetzirah are going to be burning with shame and embarrassment from what by contrasting themselves to the tzaddikim, and the fire, in fact, will come from the tzaddikim and consume them. And the pasuk finishes off, Bale Bomos Arnon, when it says that it will consume those who own the heights on the Arnon, that means another group of people who are also going to be consumed, Eru Gasei HaRuach, namely the ones who are proud, the Bale Gaiva, who are like Bomos Arnon, who are like the high places on the Arnon River, namely they hold themselves very high. Da'amamar, as we learn elsewhere in the Gemara, Kol Adam Shiyesh Begasus HaRuach, this was actually earlier in our Masechta, and in other places as well. Kol Adam Shiyesh Begasus HaRuach, a person who is proud, who is a Baal Gaiva, Noifo BeGehenim, is going to fall into Gehenim. So therefore he's burnt, also, so that fire, in other words, we're saying, is going to consume two different groups. The ones who were like an ayah, just following whatever they felt like, their passions, and then the ones who were Baal Gaiva. Then now the Gemara skips a pasuk. There's a pasuk in between. Now there's a pasuk in between in what the Moshlim say, which the Gemara is not doubting. And we'll talk about soon what Maharsha has a very long explanation about this whole piece of Gemara. Anyway, the pasuk then continues. Olacha Moyav, woe to you Moyav, avad da'am Kamosh, you people of Kamosh, which was the national Avodah Zarah of Moyav, have been destroyed. Nosan von of Platim of Noisa Bashvis, the Malach HaMori Sicha, and you've been forced to give over your sons to the sword to be killed, and your daughters as captives by the Amori King Sichon. Then the pasuk continues, and the Gemara picks it up again over here. Van Niram. Then the pasuk says Van Niram, which it actually explains the word nir means kingship, so Van Niram means and their kingship. So in the simple sense, again, Van Niram Ovad Cheshbon, their kingship was lost from Cheshbon. But now the Gemara is doubting, Van Niram means Omar Rosha Ein Ron. Means this refers to the kind of thing that the Rosha says, Van Niram, which is short for Ein Ron, there was no one high up. He denies the Ebishter. When it says Ovad Cheshbon, Cheshbon is lost, he thinks Ovad Cheshbon Ishal Olam. He thinks the whole Cheshbon of the world is lost, there's no need for any such Cheshbonus. He thinks, in other words, as Rashbam says, less din, less dayan. He thinks there's no judge, there's no judgment, a person can do whatever he wants. Well, what happens is, as the pasuk continues, ad divine, their kingship was removed from divine. So now, the Gemara Darshan's Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hamten ad sheyovoy din. The words ad divine is short for ad sheyavoy din. Hashem says, wait until the judgment comes. In other words, don't think. You're thinking you're going to get away with it. You're thinking there's no actual judgment by Hashem. There is very much a judgment, and you have no idea, and you're going to see what's going to happen. The pasuk continues, Vanashim ad noifach, and then we laid them waste, we destroyed them. The pasuk continues as far as noifach. So in the simple sense, noifach is the name of a place, but the Gemara is now saying, ad shetovei eish she'enet tzrichem nipuach. There's going to come a fire that does not need to be blown on with a bellows. Meaning, normally, you have a fire. You want to make a fire big and hot. You have to blow on it with your breath, or a larger fire you blow on with a bellows, like they do in a blacksmith shop or whatever, to make it bigger. Here, we're talking about, the Gemara is saying, there's going to be a fire of Gehenna, which doesn't require that kind of thing. In fact, Rashbam says, there's another pasuk in Iyov that also refers to the fire of Gehenna using the same metaphor, a fire that does not need to be made bigger with a bellows. Eishloi nupach, a fire that doesn't need to be blown on. So the same way over here, banashim ad noifach means an eish, a fire that doesn't need nipuach. And when the pasuk finishes off, ad medva, all the way as far as Medva, which again, in the simple sense, is the meaning, is the name of a town, like we have in the Mishnayos Yeshmal and Samikva that we learn for the 11 months and for a yahrzeit. You have a mention over there of the place Medva, where one time they made a mikveh out of snow. But so in the simple sense, Medva is the name of a city in that part of the world. But again, the Gemara Darshins Ad Shetad Iv Nishmasan means until their neshamas are going to be crushed with disappointment. The Shodesh Doav Dalet Aleph Beis means like when a person is looking forward to something and it doesn't happen, it's called davon, like they're disappointed. So ad medva, we're davening as meloshin tadiv, but amilo, others say, ad ovid mai deboi, means until Hashem does whatever he decides that he's going to do to the Rishoyim and Olam Abba. As Rashbam points out, in other words, now not always in this world, Rishoyim are not always paid back in this world. Sometimes the payback for them is left for Olam Abba. So therefore, so we're saying they may think in this world that they got away with it, but they're going to discover eventually Ad Ovid, Mai Ovid, Hashem is going to do to them what he wanted. And it's all going to come out that way. So we're doubting the word Ad Medva to mean that as an alternate thing, as short for Ad Ovid, Mai Ovid. Rabbeinu Gershom on the Gemara explains it slightly differently. He says, Ad Da'ovid Mai Deboi means until that fire accomplishes what it set out to do. The fire of Gehenna is going to burn them, is going to clean them up until it accomplishes what it needs to do. So that's the drosha of the, so that's the drosha of these psukim. So now, Marsha gives a long explanation over here. Among other things, Marsha says, so why is the Gemara leaving out that pasuk in the middle, Oy L'chamoyav? Why do we have Tibone in this world, Tikoinen in the next world? Why is it that we're changing? First we said Sichon meant Sichona, then we said that it meant the Tzadikim, then we went back to saying that it means the Rishoyim, and where's the word Moyav? So Marsha has a whole bunch of questions. So he gives a long explanation based on, we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that we know there's three qualities that Talmidim of Avraham Avinu have, and three opposite qualities that the Talmidim of Bilam HaRosha had. So he explains, we're not talking about different people. We're not talking about, for example, one person who has an Ayin Tova and a different person who has a Ruach, another one who has a Ruach Nemucha, etc. What we mean is, in other words, that we actually have, it actually means one person who has all six of them. Now, what does that mean? Either a person has an Ayin Tova or an Ayin Ra, a person doesn't have both on the face of it. And the same thing with the other ones. What are we talking about over here? So the idea is like this, in other words, Marsha says, when you talk about something good, there's three different ways in which we can talk about something that's good. Marsha mentions this in various other places in his Pirushim as well. When you talk about something that's good, it can mean good as in it feels or tastes or whatever good. We perceive it as good with our senses. It can be good as in it's effective, it does its job. Or it can be good as in intrinsically good. Its metzios is good. So now, in other words, a person has an ayin tova. That means, in other words, that mitzad hamoyo. He looks at things from the point of view of them being affected. Nefesh shvala means that he looks at it from the point of view of orev. He's not looking for luxuries. He has a nefesh shvala. He doesn't care about that he has to have this because it tastes good or it looks good or whatever. That would be nefesh shvala. And ruach nemucha means mitzad atoiv. So therefore, in other words, he has all those good midas. But the fact is, in other words, we know that as Rama mentions in Hilchos Deis, you can't go to one extreme in any of these midas. You have to have an in between. So a person has to have the three midas of Avraham Avinu's Talmidim, says Marasha, but he also has to have, to a limited extent, he has to have the three midas of the Talmidim of Bilam HaRosha as well. The question is then, which one is going to be primary? So Mabin Tamid of Shalav Ram Avinu, Tamid of Shalav Marasha, what's the actual difference is that a person has to know to balance them out correctly. So now this brings us to our Gemara over here, and when you do that, when you balance them properly, as opposed to with Tamid of Shabilam, as the Mishnah continues there in Pirkei Avos, then they Yaush and Gehenim and they go down to Be'er Shachas. So now, having explained that, now Marashah says, now we can start understanding our Gemara over here. Another point that comes in over here is that a point that the Gemara mentions in Chagiga, and which Maharsha mentions in many, many places in his Pidushim, is that every person, we talked about it before in this year, every person has a potential chelik in Gehenim and a potential chelik in Gan Eden. The tzaddik doesn't need his portion, his potential portion in Gehenim, so he doesn't have it. Instead, it goes to a Rasha who could have learned from him. Vice versa, the Rosha should have gotten a portion in Gan Eden, but he forfeited it, so therefore it goes to the Tzaddik who didn't learn from him. So now what we're saying here is that, so Arkein Yomra Moshlim, so we're saying again, what are these psukim doing over here? Now one thing is, Maharsha says, you know, you have this pasuk in the middle, which the Gemara is not doubting over here. So Maharsha says that refers to the fact that when you capture Cheshbon, you're going to find, now Cheshbon at the time when the Jewish people conquered it, was ruled over by Sichon. Sichon and his people from among the seven nations of Canaan, so you're not allowed to leave anybody alive. But the pasuk wants you to know, when you capture Cheshbon and you find captive girls over there, They're not from the seven nations. They're from Moav. They were taken captive as they were Moavi girls who were taken captive by Sichon and company. Nosan Bonav Platim of Nosa Bashvis. Your sons have had to run away as fugitives, and your daughters have been taken prisoner. The Moshlim are telling the people of Moav. So what happens is then the Moshlim, the ones who realize that we have to look at Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schara and Schara Veda Keneged Hefseda, that way the Tzaddik, by doing that, accomplishes, he builds for himself a house in this world, and he has his Chelek L'Olam Haba. It's only Tzikonin, it's founded, because not complete yet, it'll only be complete after 120 when he goes there. Meaning, in other words, when he does the proper cheshbon and does mitzvahs and stays away from Averis, he builds himself a house in this world. Namely, but no, partially, in other words, the Eibishter gives him good in this world as well. And then, in addition, he's also founding himself a place for Olam Haba. It's only founded, it's not completed yet, it'll be completed when he finishes his life's avodah and goes to Gan Eden. Therefore, that's the difference why Tibone ba'olam hazeh v'sikonin la'olam haba, Maharsha explains. Meanwhile, though, the Rosha, on the other hand, follows whatever he feels like, so then he does exactly like Bilam, where he just goes after Sichana. For example, Balak is telling Bilam, come, and I'll give you riches and everything, and Bilam wants to come. And he follows a donkey. He literally takes his donkey and goes. And Maharsha goes into a bit of arichos over here about what was going on with Bilam over there. Why is it originally Hashem told him, don't go? Then Hashem told him, fine, go ahead. But then the pasuk says Hashem was angry at him and sent a malach to block him. So Maharsha gets into a little of a side thing about that. But anyway, the point is that, so now if a person is going to be like Bilam in that regard, not like Avraham, but rather he's going to be like Tamid of Shabilam Arasha. He's going to allow the bad side of these three things, the Ayin Rav, Ruach Gvoyev, Nefesh Rechava, to be too dominant in him. Then we're saying over here that then the fire is going to come out from the Mechashvim and consume the Einim Mechashvim, meaning, as we said, the Chelik of Gehenim that would have gone to the Tzaddik had he not been a Tzaddik, instead is going to end up going to the Rasha, and he's going to be consumed and destroyed by that fire. Then he goes on, then you have, so that's as far as one bad midah, Bilam, then you have another one about his tithes. So first you have the one where he wanted the covered, then you have his tithes, and then you have his gasus aruach, so therefore the Gemara is mentioning all those three points, says Maharsha. And then we're saying that you have a person who's a Baal Gaiva in particular, as the Gemara tells us in other places, the Baal Gaiva is tantamount to denying Hashem, which is why the next thing is Vaniram over Cheshbon. So then eventually what happens is when we say that Hashem will do what he's going to do, Maharshal says it refers to, first of all, it refers to the punishments that the neshama itself undergoes. People are takever and all those kinds of things. And then there's also, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Hashem will, what's going to happen? You have the famous story over there, the Gemara tells that Antoninus asks Rebbe, how can Hashem punish either the goof or the neshama? Each one can claim, I couldn't have done the Averis by myself. So Rebbe gives him a mushal about a lame person riding on the shoulders of a blind person, and the upshot of it is both of them get punished together, the same way the Eibishter puts back together the neshama and the guf, and then punishes them together. And Maharshal says that fits with what the Gemara is saying over here. So Hamtin, actually Yobid Din, wait until the guf is punished in the kever, and then the neshama is also going to get its punishment as well in Gehenim, ad Medva, until the neshama feels bad and feels disappointed. I don't even get away with that argument that I'm free of punishment.
If you say
Osius is filled in the street, and that protects from Chibur Takever and from Yeh. Yeah. Speaking of Maimorim, then, so now the next thing I was going to say is there's a Maimor in Lakuta Torah in Parshas Chukas, and then there's a beer on it where the Alter Rebbe goes through this piece of Gemara over here and explains it in a whole different way. So here we're saying the simple meaning of the Gemara is talking about the Tzaddikim versus the Rishoyim, and Maharshal is explaining at great length how it refers to, again, the qualities of Avraham Avinu and his Talmidim versus the qualities of Bilam HaRasha and his Talmidim. The Alter Rebbe has a whole different take on it. The Moshlim B'Yitzram refers to the Tzaddikim, particularly refers to, the Alter Rebbe says, those who start considering, why did the Eibishter send a neshama down into this world in the first place? Cheshbonah Shel Olam, what's the calculation, what's the cheshbon, why the Eibishter had to do that in the first place? And they realize that there's hefs and mitzvah negative schoros, schadavera negative seder, but what does a person need to do? A person has to, a main part of a person's avoda has to be sicha nah in the positive sense. Sicha ain't sicha el tefillah. We find by Yitzchak, remember, by Yitzchak, or suach basada, he went out to speak in the field, and that refers to him davening mincha. So a person has to follow sicha nah in the positive sense, namely that he's going to work on avodas tefillah. And then what happens? T'esh yotzeh mecheshbon, not in a negative sense that we're talking about before, that it means a consuming, destroying fire, but rather the fire of Avas Hashem that's going to be built up by the person like that. And he goes on to explain that Ochla or Moyav is also in a positive sense. Moyav has to do with Chochma, because Moyav was first named that because Me'ov from the father, and therefore Moyav represents Chochma. So Ochla or Moyav in the sense that it takes over and consumes even the person's chokhma in a fire of love for the Eibishter. And then, on the other hand, if it's a gasa ruach, then there's a problem. But yeah, so in other words, so the Alter Rebbe is explaining basically that this whole drosha in the Gemara on this whole pasuk is actually hinting at the importance of avodas tefillah, and yeah, the importance of staying away from gasa ruach. A person can't become an ovid and then think, well, look what a great guy I am from that. But yeah, so it's a long mimer on these psukim in Parshas Chukas, and then there's a beer on it as well. Okay. Continuing in this vein now, the Gemara continues, now that we talked about this point about a fire that destroys the Rishoyim. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ha-perish medivrei Torah, a person who separates himself from words of Torah, the pashtus meaning that he used to learn Torah and then gave it up, esh echlatoi, a fire will consume him. So, as the pasuk says, "V'nasatias ponei b'hem," Hashem says, "I will turn my face against them." And Parsha Prat, that's referring to the Jewish people of Yechezkel's times and their avodas. Meher esh yotso, they came out of fire. Var esh toichlem, and fire will consume them. So now, what the Gemara is understanding is, meher esh yotso means they went out from Torah, which is compared to fire. Mimina Eish Daslama and other psukim that compare Torah to fire. So my Eish Yatso doesn't mean they came out of fire, it means they left. They went out of fire, they went away from the fiery Torah. And therefore, Va'ish Toichlem, and therefore the fire will consume them. And the Gemara continues, Ki Osir of Dimi, Omer of Yonason, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained in the name of Rav Yonason, another meaning, another teaching in this connection. Anybody who weakens himself from words of Torah, and like he slacks off on learning Torah, noifel b'gehenim, falls into Gehenim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Odom Toya Miderech Haskel, a person who strays, who goes astray from the way of intelligence, from the way of understanding, Bekal Refoyim Yonuach. He will rest in the congregation of Refoyim. And what are Rephaim? Vein Rephaim ala Yoda Gehenim. The word Rephaim refers to Gehenim, as we find earlier in Sefer Mishlei, Shenema, V'la Yoda ki Rephaim Sham, he, a person who follows an Isha Zayin over there, as it describes in the Pesukim, he doesn't know that there are Rephaim over there, the Imke She'o Kru'er, who are the ones that she invites, that the Isha Zayin, also representing Apikorsis, and all that invites, wind up in the depths of She'ol. She'ol is Gehenim, so therefore we see Rephaim is also a synonym for Gehenim. So now, in the previous Pesuk, B'kal Rephaim Yanuach, means he's going to end up living among and resting among those who are the Rephaim in Gehenna.
If he doesn't do
tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, obviously, right.
Is this an ongoing process, or at the end of his life he's going to be there?
I mean, a person always has the chance to do tshuva, so the pashas.
Punishment, is that an ongoing thing every day, or at the end of his life it's going
to be? I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends what he does in the end, how much he works to make it up. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's not in Gehenna while he's alive, the pashas. So, what? Okay. So Maharsha explains over here like this. A Polish medivre Torah doesn't just mean a person separates himself from Torah. It means a Polish means he causes somebody else to. So for example, you have two people, Maharsha describes, you have two people who are supposed to be learning to go Torah together, and instead they start goofing off and then being mevato one another. So then fire consumes them. And therefore we have the pasuk from Asati Ponei Bahem, Hashem says, I'll put my attention against them. They were supposed to be in the fire. They should have been sharpening one another with the pupil of Torah, and that would be compared to fire, and that would actually be like fire that would also protect them against any other fire. But now, they left that protective wall of fire, so now, instead is able to have control of them. In fact, he brings from Targum Yonason on the Pasuk, who paraphrases and says that it means they left the words of Torah, which were given from the fire, and therefore, Goyim, who are powerful and strong like fire, will consume them. So that's the first one, Maharsha says. The second one, called a Purdish Atzmo Medivre Torah, means he himself is Mevatel himself from Torah. So then we're saying he winds up in Gehenna. Like this, in other words, a person's seichel can be Toya. A person's seichel can mislead him in all kinds of ways. The Torah is supposed to prevent him from doing that. So now, if he allows himself to be Toya, he separates himself from Torah and allows them that his random brain thoughts are going to instead take him in the wrong path, then he'll find lots of other people like him in Gehenna as well. So therefore, that's what I mean, B'kal Rephaim Yanuach. The next thing that the Gemara talks about is you have dinim where a person has bought trees that are standing in somebody else's property. Now you have certain dinim over there the Gemara goes into a lot of detail about it. If he bought only one or two trees, then he's not entitled to any more than a tiny strip of land around each tree, basically just enough to pick the fruit. But if he buys three or more trees, then he's entitled to a certain amount of land between them in the field as well. So the Gemara goes into many details of those dinim. So one thing is it talks about among other things, then what happens, it's very common that trees have little shoots that start growing out of the branches or out of the trunk. So you have dinim when you have to chop them off, because otherwise they're going to eventually grow into a new tree, and then the guy is going to claim that he bought three trees in the first place. And you have dinim also about what happens when he wants to chop down the tree, what rights does he have after that? Is the tree going to regenerate or not? So the Gemara brings the following point. The Gemara mentions that if it was a cedar tree, if it was an erez, then it's not going to regenerate. You chop it down, then it's a goner. So therefore, then his tree is gone. And then at that point, the landowner can tell him, take your stump and go. You have no more rights over here. So the Gemara asks, the Erez in Gizlei Machlif. So you're telling me that a cedar tree does not, the trunk does not regenerate. V'hadorash Reb Chiya Ba'luluyoni apiska de Benesia. Reb Chiya Ba'luluyoni gave the following drosha in front of the door of the Nasi. Sometimes Nasiya, especially among Chachamim who were in Bavel, means the Reish Galusa. So it could mean the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, it could mean the Reish Galusa in Bavel. Anyway, Reb Chiya Ba'luluyoni gave the following drosha in front of his door. One point is that Ben Yoyada points out that Durasha is going to be about the importance of how a leader has to lead the Jewish people and do good for them, and how his children should be able to succeed him, both of which are very important lessons for Nasi or Reish Kalusa. Anyway, my dichti, what does it mean in the pasuk? Tzadik katomer yifrach, the tzadik will flourish, will flower like the palm tree. Ke'erez balavonin yiske, he'll be strong like the cedar in Levonin. Im nema tomer lama nema eres, vim nema eres lama nema tomer. Why is the pasuk comparing him to two different kinds of trees? Now the As we're going to see, the palm tree has the advantage that it gives fruit, but on the other hand, when you chop it down, it never regrows again. The Erez, the cedar tree, doesn't produce fruit, but it will regenerate. So why is he being compared to both of them? So that's why. Im nemer Erez vo nemer tomer, if it only said that the tzaddik is like a cedar tree and not like a palm tree, how you see Oima, you would think, Ima Erez ain't oisa peiris, just like a cedar tree doesn't produce peiris, af tzaddik ain't oisa peiris. The same way maybe a tzaddik doesn't produce any peiris, he'll use up all his schar in this world and he won't have anything left for Olam Abba. Or the other way around, the other way around, Rashbam says it could be that way or it could be the other way around, that he won't get any peiris for his mice and tovim in this world, all of it will be left for Olam Abba. So we would think that. Therefore, l'chach nemer tomer, therefore the pasuk compares him to a palm tree, which does produce fruit. The im nemer tomer, v'le nemer erez, on the other hand, if it only compared him to a palm tree, and not a cedar tree, how you see, oh, mak tomer en gizei machlet, a cedar tree, you chop it down, it's never going to regrow again. Its trunk will never regrow. Af tzaddik en gizei machlet, the same way you would think that tzaddik is the same thing. His trunk is not going to regenerate if he was chopped down. Meaning, Rashbam says, it can mean that if he passes away, he won't have children of his caliber. And it can also mean if he falls, he'll never rise again. He'll never be back to where he was before. Whereas the pasuk says, sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. So therefore, l'chach nemer erez, that is why the pasuk also compares him to a cedar tree. So Baal Shah points out another meaning of it is also that even after he passes away, even after, so to speak, he's chopped down in this world, nevertheless, he still has gizei machlef, he still continues to grow and flourish in Olam Haba. Not only that, but in this world also, there's a medrash that says, there's a pasuk in Kehelas that says, when a tree falls, im yipola eitz badorim b'imatzofen, mokum shi yipola eitz shom yehu, wherever the tree falls, there it is. Of course, wherever the tree falls, there it is. The Medrash says on it, I think it actually brings it on the pasuk, that it means that where a tzaddik lived, you can see his ashpa long afterwards. I think Mardu brings it someplace also, come to think of it. Anyway, so therefore, the tzaddik is compared both to a cedar tree and a palm tree. So the point of the question is that here we just said in the Gemara that a cedar tree will never regenerate. If you chop it down, then that's it. It never regrows. Whereas here we're saying, fakir, that a cedar tree does regrow. So the answer is hosamur ella hofmaiskin bishamine arozim. When we talk about the ones that will regrow, we're talking about other kinds of trees that are in the category of arozim. Because erez narrowly means a cedar tree, but in fact, as the Gemara is going to explain now, there are a whole bunch of types of trees, some of which are not even that closely related to cedar trees, but in Torah they're considered to be in the category in the general category of cedar. Kedidav barahona. They said in the yeshiva of Rav, Asora mine arozim hem. There are 10 types of trees that are under the general category of erez. Shenema, Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hashem promises la'asid lavay that even the desert parts of Eretz Yisrael will start flourishing, and Hashem says etin b'midbar erez shita v'hadas ve'etz shemen. Osim ba'arava, a place in the arava is also like the semi-desertic areas. Brosh kidor sa'ashu yachdav, there will be all of these trees over there. So we see the Pasuk lists 7 trees, and we're understanding that they all go under the category of erez. That's only 10. The Gemara will talk about there's going to be another 3. So what are they? Tana, we learn in Braisa, so let's define them. Erez is arza, cedar tree. Shita means tunisa, means a pine tree. Hadas means osa, a myrtle tree. Eitz shemen means a farsima, a balsam tree. Brosh means brati, a cypress tree. Or boxwood, actually, Rashbam translates it as boxwood. Tidhar is shoga. Rashi says two possibilities. One is that it might mean a fir tree, or the other one is that that's the one that you produce shemen afarsim and balsam oil from. Or sa'asher is shrubina. Rashbam says, I don't know what a shrubina is. So those are 7 types of trees. So the Gemara Tani Zayin Havu, well then that's only 7, whereas you said that there were 10 types of eres. So the answer is, ki osir of Dimi, Omo, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "Hosifu aleihem." The chachamim, you have to add to them. The chachamim added. There's 3 more: aloinim, almoinim, and almugim. Aloinim is butni, is oak trees. Almoinim is baluti, is fir trees. I may have some of the definitions mixed up. I don't remember actually, but okay. Almogin would be kasisa, would be coral. Coral grows underwater. It's actually produced by little microscopic marine creatures, but in many of them grow in the shape of trees, and in halacha they're considered trees. Even as far as, for example, in halachas of tumah makara, for example, you have things that grow in the sea are generally not makabel tumah, but coral is. So it's considered like wood for that purpose. Ikadamri, we find it mentioned in the Psukim and Melochim and Divrei Yomim. It says that Malchus Shavar brought Atzei Almugim to Shlomo HaMelech. Ikadamri, another version, Aroinim Armoinim Almugim. Another version is it's a different one. Aroinim would be Eri, laurel trees. Armoinim is Dulvi, is chestnut trees, although Tosfos elsewhere, Tosfos in some other places disagrees and says that Dulvi does not mean chestnut trees. It means a different kind of tree called a plane tree. And Almugim would be Kasisa, would again be coral. So you have either way, you have another three, and that makes the list of 10. So the nafkamina of it, in other words, Maharsha points out, lahalocha, if a person says, I'm going to sell you an erez tree, or I'm going to sell you erez wood, he can legally give him any of these other kinds, and the person can't complain. It's a mekach tos, because all of them do fall under the general category of erez. So even as the darkness of Golus gets more and more, Yid should not be nispal from it. On the contrary, he knows that the whole thing is Yudid Tzorech Aliyah, so Yid adds more in his avoda, b'yesa seis b'yesa oiz, and adds more ner mitzvah Torah to be mevatel and transform that darkness of Golus. And in fact, that greater Yerida of Choshech HaGolus brings a greater elevation, and the greater the Choshech, the greater it shows, the elevation of Asad Lavi will be. So when the Choshech is Kofel and Mechopel, it shows that the Ur and the Gil of Asad Lavi will also be doubled. For Chofa de Beis, we have something that was actually just now, just yesterday in Ein Yaakov, Sidim Tzadikim Shiyom Lefnei Kodesh, Kedev Shoyim Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, then in the future, they'll say Kodesh, like before the Tzadikim, as they say before Hashem. So now, all the Giluyim of La'asit Lovet depend on Ma'asein of Rabbi Asena during Golos. So therefore, so that means, now, who were the Tzadikim? The Amech Kolom Tzadikim. So because we do our Avodas, we do the Avodah of the Skadishim, the Yisim Kedoshim, the Avodah of Kadesh Atmacha B'mutoloch, to be Kodesh, even in Yonah Hirashus. Therefore, that results in that Shem Rimmel Fenem Kodesh loss of loving. Continuing with halachas of tzitzis. So if a person, suppose a person has an extra long talus. And he folds it and sews it so that it looks, we talked about that actually, where he makes the corner rounded. We said that, yeah. So, okay, we talked about that a beged made of leather is potter from tzitzis, because now konfibigdeim, beged means that it was woven. Suppose most of it is made out of leather, and a miyot is made out of cloth, so even if the corners are made out of cloth, it would be potter. Vice versa, even though the knafayim are made out of leather, it would be chayev, because you go mainly according to the ikker of the beged. Asher techasaba, mashma, that it goes according, basically according to what covers the body as a whole, not according to the corners. Then you also have, if it's made out of leather, and you have underneath it is a lining of cloth, then it would also be potter. But if it was the other way around, it's basically made out of cloth, and it has a lining of leather, then again, it would be chayev, because the lining is bottled to the beged. I believe the poskim nowadays also talk about, for example, other kinds of synthetic materials like polyester or whatever. In principle, those can be made as one big sheet, like leather. On the other hand, they're often to begin with made as fibers, like wool or that, like linen. So would they have the din of leather as far as that regard? If they're to begin with made as fibers, I think there's some discussion among Achronim about that point.
So what's the Hemaskar?
I don't remember, actually. I don't remember, but we have a rub here. We can ask, you know. But, I mean, in any case, we learned earlier that L'chatzkiler was supposed to wear tzitzis made out of wool anyway, so that we're making the mitzvah l'chol ha'olam.